Bonjour everybody and welcome to this special episode of the ID Element, all about the launch of the Access Control Service. Today we are invading the office of Aaron Smasser. Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, guys?
Thanks for your time, Aaron. Aaron is a program manager on the Access Control Service and has been for the last year. Since this is the first time that Aaron is on the show, it is a custom to ask a bit about your history with Microsoft and the path that you followed for getting here.
Yep. So my name is Aaron Smalzer. I'm a program manager on the Access Control Service team. I've been working at Microsoft approximately 3 years in the identity and security business. And I've been working on Access Control Service for the last year, since the very beginning of the Access Control Service 2.0 release. And so it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to talking about it.
That's awesome, and that's great, because that's the only reason we are here. And for what I know, Aaron, your focus has been on the user experience.
Correct. I've been mainly focused, well, as a program manager, you get to work on a lot of aspects of the product. But my main focus has been on the user experience, which is mainly the ACS management portal, as well as a feature that we call the ACS Home Realm Discovery Feed, which is a feature that allows customers to create and host custom login pages that that use identity providers that they get through using ACS.
Wow, that's great. You get the visible part of a product, whereas a lot of your colleagues are hidden in the guts of the protocols. So that's very interesting. Could you tell us a bit about the portal in itself, like structure, intent, what do you think of a portal?
Sure. So the portal is really optimized for that first getting started experience. It helps users understand what the components of ACS are, as well as what the steps are to create an application that uses ACS. It's really it's optimized for a couple of different key high-level scenarios. One of the scenarios is the web application scenario, where you have a web application that needs to accept logins from multiple identity providers, say Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, Active Directory, Federation Services, and so on. Another scenario is the web services scenario, where you have, let's say, a REST web service, and your web service have clients that need to authenticate. And rather than manage username and password credentials yourself, you want the clients to get a credential, or your client needs to log in with an external identity provider, such as AEFS. And then they present that credential to your service.
And you said specifically REST web services. Does that mean that you don't support also the rich ones?
Oh, we do. We support, REST web services was one of the first scenarios that was supported with ACS. But in this release, we support WCF web services, and we support protocols such as WS Trust in addition to OAuth.
That's great. And so the portal, for what I understand, is actually one endpoint, just like one of the STS endpoints. So basically you can do interesting things with it, like using ACS itself for managing access to it, right?
That's right. Whenever you create an instance of Access Control Service, we have this thing called ACS namespaces. An ACS namespace is kind of like a virtual server. And it's your namespace.accesscontrol.windows.net. And this URL hosts all of the different endpoints that your application interacts with, but it also hosts the portal. And so so you're accessing the portal in the same namespace that the STS endpoints are hosted on.
That's great. And in terms of structure, I guess that since you said that this is geared to a typical like to say F5 scenario, like somebody just starting to create something and all the features are there, what would be the classic workflow that you expect people following, like in the case in which you are building a web application?
So when you're building a web application, the portal separates it into a couple of key tasks. One is you need to configure the identity providers that your application needs to federate with. And we try to make this as easy as possible. We provide out-of-the-box support for a couple of identity providers, such as Google and Yahoo and Facebook. Google and Yahoo, it's very little information is provided. You just go to the portal and you say, I want to use Google as an identity provider, and it's done. You literally don't have to do anything more than that. And the experience is similar for the other identity provider types, although if you're using ADFS, obviously you need to have ADFS configured and you need to provide some information about your server.
Right, but you guys did a great job of actually supporting the various toolings, metadata, so that it's a pretty seamless experience, right?
We try to make it as seamless as possible, yes. So the second step is you need to configure your application. And in ACS lingo, this is called the relying party application. But it's really just means your website or your web service that you're going to use with these identity providers. And so the portal allows you to register your application, providing information about it, such as a name, a URL, which the tokens that ACS issues will be scoped for, and some other information about what type of token you want ACS to deliver to your application and how that token is signed and encrypted.
All right. And then what else do you have to do?
And so the third step is configuring rules or rule groups. And now rules define what information is passed from the identity providers to your application. And this is called something called claims. A claim is basically a piece of information about a user identity. And rules define how claims are passed through from identity providers to your application or transformed into new sets of claims. A big feature here is the ability to have one set of claims, one normalized set of claims that your application is configured to handle, and that can be normalized across all the identity providers. And so instead of having to deal with three different unique ID claims or three different name claims from three different identity providers, you can just have one ID claim and one name claim. And so your application doesn't have to know the difference.
That's indeed really great. One feature that I absolutely love of your partner is this generate capability, which what does it do, this generate button?
So writing rules can be a very, very arduous task for anybody that has ever worked with a federated identity product or a policy management product for that matter. We tried to make this as easy as possible for people to get going right away without having to figure out the ins and outs of rules and rule groups. And so for every identity provider that we support out of box, we provide ways to generate default rules. And so it's as simple as selecting the rule group that you're editing for your application, and then clicking a generate button to automatically generate rules for the identity providers that you've configured. Now, the way that we determine what rules need to be generated are for identity providers such as ADFS. When you configure that identity provider, you provide us some WS Federation metadata, which is configuration information that is hosted by the ADFS instance. And so we figure out what the supported claim types are based on that, and then we automatically generate pass-through rules for those claims. For the other identity provider types, such as Google and Yahoo and Facebook and Windows Live ID, all of those things have a default set of claims that we know about in advance. And so when you click generate, we generate those claims by default.
That's really handy. That's very handy. Like, I remember at first that creating by hand would actually take some time. And instead, with this generate, it's a snap. And the other feature which is really useful is this pre-generated certificate for the namespace.
Yeah, that's definitely handy. Another difficult part of configuring a product like this is normally configuring certificate and keys. But we, out of the box, we provide default certificates and keys, so you don't have to do that if you don't want to. There's a default certificate that ACS uses to sign tokens.
That's really useful, because especially for the getting up and running, this thing is really fast. That's great. So at this point, if you follow all those steps, you can actually get your application up and running. You already have your ACS acting as a broker. And let's say that you configured more than one identity provider. And then you just go back on your application, and you hit the five, and what happens?
So depending on how you've configured it, you follow these steps. If you use a product like Windows Identity Foundation, it makes it very, very easy to consume the token that ACS is going to issue your application. And so if you were to, say, follow one of our examples that involves using WIF, you go through the configuration procedure, you change a few lines of code in your ASP.NET application, you hit F5, and it works. You have an application with a login page, and then you can... Either you're automatically redirected to the ACS login page, or you click a button to log in, it's your choice, and then you log in with the identity provider, and then before you know it, you're back on your application and you're logged in.
That's great. And so, by default, we actually do something for helping a user to choose which identity provider they want. So do you want to transition to the Homeland Discovery topic, since it seems it was like a big rock of yours.
Yeah, that's definitely a feature that that I was very proud of and that really excites me as a developer. ACS provides the ability for developers to customize their login page experience, and we do this by providing a JSON encoded feed which only contains the publicly exposed information from ACS about your identity provider, such as the name, their names, and the login URLs. And so, by building an application that consumes this feed, you can make your login experience whatever you want. If you want to have a what's called a NASCAR page, where there are big buttons with logos for different identity providers, you can build that. If you want to have a drop-down menu, you can build that too. If you want to have a form where somebody inputs their email address and then are matched to a particular, let's say, ADFS identity provider, you can build that as well. We really don't provide any limitations on what you can or can't do with your login page because I believe that's the customer's user experience. They should have full control over how their login page should look and feel, and we should just get out of the way.
Absolutely, but yet we still provide something out of the box which helps in case in which, for example, you are just testing your application and you don't want to have also to write your login part, right?
Right. Yeah, we have two different login page methods. Out of the box, we do provide a default login page, which is very, very useful for that first time getting started experience, where instead of copying and pasting the code or implementing your own login page, you can just use one that's built into ACS.
Do you want to make maybe a little schema so that we don't have to, strain too much our visual imagination?
Okay. So ACS is a service that's designed to work in between your applications and identity providers. And so here's ACS. Over here, you have your web application. And over here, you have your identity providers. I'll call it IDP for short. Now, normally, the workflow is a user will go directly to your web application, and they'll be presented with a login page there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it?
Perfect.
So, normally, a user will see the login page on the web application, and they'll be presented with a list of identity providers. They'll click on the identity provider, and they'll be redirected to the IDP, where they complete the login process.
Okay.
And then what happens at that point is instead of going directly back to the web application, the identity provider, via a crafted URL that the user clicked on, knows to send their response to ACS, not the web application. So ACS is the thing that is handling the authenticated response from the identity provider. It runs the response through the ACS rules engine and determines what the claims need to be output. And then it issues a new token to your web application.
Right, and this is the classic flow. And where does our HomeRAM discovery capability kick in this schema?
So in the method that I've been talking about is the custom HomeRAM discovery feature, where the web application will consume a JSON encoded feed from ACS, and it renders the login page as part of your web application.
Okay.
There's also another mode where instead of selecting the identity provider on the web application, the web application redirects them to a hosted version of the login page that's at ACS.
Okay.
And that makes it very, very, very easy to get started because out of the box, when you configure an ASP.NET application and you use WIF, WIF will automatically redirect all users who are unauthenticated to an external website for login, like ACS.
Right.
And so we made it very easy for all that to work out of box.
And how would this page look like? Like, could you just do a schematic representation of how that would be?
Sure. So the page that's hosted on ACS, it'll appear as a list of buttons, and each of these represents an identity provider.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here are your buttons. If a user were to click on one of these buttons, they would be redirected to the appropriate identity provider,
all
say
right.
ADFS.
Perfect. And you mentioned that there is instead also this other method in which you basically don't disclose the list of identity providers, but you just write their email, you said?
Excuse me?
Like a system in which you have a text field and you write the email rather than having the buttons?
Yes, there's an alternate experience where instead of using login buttons, you can configure email address suffixes that you want to map to the identity providers that you've configured. This is especially appropriate for ADFS identity providers, where you may have 50 of them, and you don't want to display 50 ADFS instances on your web page, because these could be your partners, your customers who want to authenticate using their local Active Directory credentials. You may have a lot of those. And so the alternate experience is for users to enter their email address, and then as soon as they click enter, we will match the suffix to the identity provider and redirect them to the right place.
Yep. That's a very clever trick. Also because I guess that not everybody would be thrilled to appear in that list. Like if you have one company and their competitor, it's never nice to...
Right.
But this trick really works very well. That's great. That's great.
Well, it's definitely something that was being done in the community. Like there are plenty of examples of people and websites requiring an email address as a login credential, and so we did that based on the popularity of that feature.
And that's great that you just put the email but not the password, since you just get redirected. That's great. That is definitely something that makes the life of developers much much easier. So, I'd say that this covers really well the user experience aspect. Do you have anything to add in respect to the user experience angle of the access control service?
Sure. So, normally what a user would do, if a user wants to use multiple identity providers on their web application, the normal process is they would go to an identity provider that supports Federation, say Facebook, and they would download their SDK. And they would figure out how to craft a sign-in request for that identity provider, put that on their website, and then they would need to write the code that handles the response from that identity provider. And they would do this for every identity provider that they want to support. The value proposition of ACS is that we make it so you only have to federate once with ACS, and you only have to write the code to handle one response with one normalized set of claims from ACS instead of for N identity providers. And what's more is we automate the process of creating those login links via our JSON home realm discovery feature. And so you can take the code that we provide and paste it into your application, and it will render this login page, or you can use the ACS hosted login page. So really, all you need to do from a heavy lifting coding perspective is write the code that handles the token response from ACS, and you're done.
That's very handy, definitely handy. All right, so I don't want to abuse too much of your time, but is there like anything that, I don't know, something that would give a personal feeling to all this? Like, you worked on this for 1 year. Is there anything that you'd like to share that you think it's interesting that happened in the last year about ACS?
I do. So ACS is designed to solve a number of identity federation scenarios. But one thing that I really love about it is it just so happens that I've developed websites for friends and family members in the past, and being the developer that I am, I made them database driven, where I used a framework that allowed them to log in and edit their website without having to know any HTML. I made it as simple as possible, and I put a lot of work into it. But I noticed something. I noticed that none of these people, after I did all this work for them, they never used the website that I built for them. And so I asked them, well, have you used the website? Like, I haven't seen any updates or anything changed about it. And in more than one case, the answer I got back was, oh, I wanted to use it, but I forgot what the password was.
Fantastic.
And so I'm very, it's very exciting to work on a product where this is one of the problems that it solves.
That's great. So finally, you have satisfaction for all your extra work. That's great. Thank you again for having us. This was really interesting, and we look forward to see what's next. And for you listening, thank you for your attention, and please go and try the Access Control Service now. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.